You're listening to Catch the Flavor Radio on Radio Regent.
Hey, 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 listeners. Welcome to Radio Regent. Tonight, I'm one of your many hosts, 1-2 Trey. Along with me here, we have Jerry Z.
Yeah, yeah.
We have Bubba Africa.
Yo.
We got T-Bone.
Yeah.
And Sai.
Hey.
Yes.
What happened to the steak?
No more steak. He went vegetarian. No.
Oh. Okay, well, that's right before we start the radio show, I just want to tell people I had a different hairstyle today, so...
it's radio, though. How are they going to see your haircut?
Yeah, I got a good hair for radio. That's what I'm trying to say to you guys. Because usually my hair is usually spiky, but now you guys can't see it because I had it down. I didn't have anything with it, so...
Actually, you're bald. You're not... You're bald, so...
I'm bald.
Yeah, you're bald.
Okay, I just got a red head that's bald, so it's kind of, I guess, a purpley head
you're bald.
That I have. So that's kind of cool.
This is all a lie. So.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. You can't see my bald-headed red head.
Not until we get the live webcam thing going. Can't wait for that.
I actually look like Ginger from The Brave, you know, the thing?
Oh, my God.
Don't you think? But I don't have the curly hair, if you guys know what that is. But anyhow, I just want to remind people that there's actually a second presidential debate tonight, and we're going to actually talk about it tomorrow. So tune in to Catch the Flavor Radio tomorrow. From
Go Obama. Come on, please.
7 to 8 p.m. So we're going to see exactly whether Obama's going to put up a good grade A game tonight.
Yes, he is. Yes, he can.
We sure hope he would because he's been relaxed for quite
some
time.
Yes, he can. Come on, Obama. Come on, please.
Okay, and I want to also tell people that tomorrow we're going to discuss about this topic about the cyberbullying and the suicide that had taken place online. And it's from a 15-year-old girl from BC. Her name is Amanda Todd. So we're going to discuss a little bit in depth about it. So we're not actually going to discuss about it tonight, but you guys will be, shocked and surprised about how engaging this topic will be for tomorrow. So the first one, T-Bone, can you bring us about this first topic that we're going to talk about?
So basically, I believe it was it on Monday when Felix, he's from Astra, he jumped out of the stratosphere back to Earth in the largest free fall ever. And he was going so fast, he broke the sound barrier, too. So he broke three Guinness World Records, I guess you can call them. One would be, first human being to be not in a vehicle traveling faster than the speed of sound, or the same speed of sound.
No, he went a little past Mach
1. Oh, he actually exceeded it. Yeah, that's what
I think it was 1.4 Mach, something like that.
So it was the highest skydive, and as well as the highest manned balloon flight. So if you saw that, him going up slowly in that balloon, that was also a Guinness World Record, too. Yeah, he got that as well. Okay.
Yeah. Go Felix the Cat.
And I'm pretty sure the majority of people listening have probably seen that video. Because everybody was watching. There was millions of people watching.
Yeah, he actually broke the record for YouTube. So 8 million people... on YouTube saw it live, so that was a really good thing for him.
So a few minutes ago we were discussing about superheroes and everything. Who do you guys think is closest that he can be as a superhero for the speed?
The sloth.
Felix
the sloth.
I think, how fast does Superman fly? Anybody know?
You guys think that
I think it's inconsistent.
He's a speeding bullet, Superman. So.
No, it's faster than that.
So you think that he's faster than a speeding bullet?
He is.
I'm talking about Felix.
Yeah, you said what superheroes does he beat?
Oh, that's funny you mentioned that. So about Felix again, you know how Superman travels faster than the speed of light?
No.
Yeah, they said that in an old cartoon.
Yeah, in old cartoon.
But they made a mistake on MSNBC, which was actually really hilarious. They said that Felix traveled faster than the speed of light when he descended to Earth. I'm like, that's pretty damn fast, and that's a big mistake. And I saw that online the other day, and they quickly tried to fix it and edit out the text to make it back to sound barrier.
Come on,
you know what?
It's Microsoft.
I think the speed of Superman's flight varies if he's in space or not.
But the thing is, I've seen Superman. I think it was Superman 3 that I saw.
It varies and, if he's in space, yeah.
And he actually went and flew around the world to reverse it. So that means Superman could be faster because he traveled the world.
Made the Earth spin backwards.
Yeah,
he made
the
Earth spin
backwards. And then he went.
That is the most ridiculous.
It was like a tornado.
Yeah, he's like
You saw that one? You saw Superman 3?
I went, and
the world got rewound.
Yeah. You know what was crazy? When you watched that video of Felix, right? It was like he's in space. Yeah. And he jumped back to Earth. You always think, are you going to burst into flames like a meteorite?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's what was in my mind. Like,
yeah. So does he have like a combustible?
I think that was below the ozone layer.
The stratosphere is just below
the ozone layer. Yeah.
Okay, so is he wearing like a non-combustible or proof kind of
a space suit?
Yeah, I know, but is it...
Yeah,
but
the main
that could still burn.
The main concern is actually the opposite.
No, it won't burn.
Their main concern was him freezing to death. So that's why he wore the suit, right?
Yeah,
that's
it's
true.
It's really cold up there. There's even ice that collects on you.
That is
nuts. You're that high up, right?
So
it took them 5 years to prepare for that flight. And
5 years, wow!
What do you guys think about Red Bull sponsoring though? Because I'm not really pro Red Bull because
it's not good
for you. But
Red Bull,
some people are. But Red Bull was the huge sponsor in this.
They sponsored the whole thing.
Whenever you hear Felix, you think Red Bull.
Yeah.
Yeah, Red Bull is a good match, though.
Red Bull makes you fly. Is it there?
Red Bull gives you wings.
Yeah, that's why.
Apparently, they cuts the wings, too, because
he
goes pretty fast.
Yeah.
Red Bull's got to have made a good amount of...
You know they had to get rid of that slogan because a man jumped out of the window and broke his arm and his leg. And they said, why did you do that? He said, because I watched a Red Bull commercial and it said it would give me wings.
Yeah, that's a stupid man.
So they had to change their whole slogan around because of that. But it's cool that that they at least sponsored...
Funny you said that. That's kind of interesting.
It's good for Red Bull, I think.
Does anybody else... doesn't anybody listen to like the last like 2 seconds of it? It's like actually Red Bull doesn't do anything like that. It just makes you like
They had to add that because of it. There were now deaths associated with it.
Yeah,
they don't want to get
more lawsuit or whatever.
Yeah, it's like the same thing with those two sisters that went obese because they ate McDonald's too much. They sued McDonald's. Yeah, now they can sue Red Bull too.
I think we were talking about surprised how NASA didn't cover this. I think it's because he's Australian. Is that one maybe?
No, NASA basically commissioned, I think it was SpaceX. I think these guys, they're the one who are running everything. NASA didn't do anything, but they just commissioned those guys to do it.
Mm. Yeah, good for him. That was like incredible. I don't know if any of you guys saw that. You should watch even the replay of it.
I saw it.
That little dot flying to Earth was a person.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So it was pretty cool. It was actually like watching a Superman trailer, seeing him flying back to Earth. You see his little dot going really quick, and he's going like 740 miles per hour back to Earth. It's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Imagine what's going through his head just going that fast back to the Earth. It's like,
some people, like, they would be motivated and they'll actually set their destiny in motion. You know, like, this is my destiny. I'm going to actually go and do this, and I'll be in the Guinness Book of World Records. So it's actually good when you're passionate about trying to accomplish something. Big him up.
Yeah, but this guy's been jumping off strange platforms. You know, he jumped off Rio de Janeiro, that Jesus Christ sculpture. So he jumped off that. He jumped off a couple of other skyscrapers in China and all these places. So he's always looking for strange places to jump off.
Yeah.
And I think this was the ultimate one.
Yeah, definitely. Do you know how many people viewed or like actually watched this?
8 million people.
8 million people actually viewed this.
And that was live.
Yeah, and what's really cool about that is it says here that it was the first time they used an HD camera on a spacesuit. So imagine watching the moon landing this time in HD.
And you'll see all the people in the background.
You probably would. Oh, my my God, we can see the stars and chords. No, I'm kidding.
No, you'll see the camera guy. You'll see the sound guy. you'll see all those guys in the background. You'll see the director.
All right, so I think we're out of time for that topic.
Yep, gotta change topics now.
All right.
Good for Felix.
So, Baba Africa, you got another topic for us that you you were sharing with us a few minutes ago.
Yes. So, I'm going to talk about Malala Yousafzai, I believe that's her name. She's a 14-year-old Pakistani schoolgirl. And her dream in life is to basically advocate for the education for girls in Pakistan and all over the world. And so she's basically an educational advocate in Pakistan. So last week when she was going to school, she's riding the school bus, and the Taliban, who don't believe that girls should have an education, the Taliban, they stopped her school bus and they got on the school bus and they asked the kids there, the school kids, who is Malala here? Who's Malala here? And the kids were afraid, but they pointed out who Malala was, and the Taliban, they shot Malala twice. They shot her in the head and they shot her in the neck, and basically this has basically made everybody upset. And for the past week, there's been a lot of people all over the world protesting against the Taliban. You know, in Pakistan, they're like, shame on you, the Taliban. And basically, Malala is basically now the symbol of, like, girls' education. You know, she's, like, inspiring a lot of young girls to want to go to school. And, you know, we're talking about why school is important and everything else. So Malala was actually flown to the UK, Britain, so that she could have a better medical treatment. So she's recovering steadily right now, and we're all hoping that she survives and she keeps on what she's doing, because I believe that she's a true symbol of what's happening around the world in terms of girls being oppressed by the government, being oppressed by men. So we're all hoping that, you know, praying for her to survive, basically. So
that's kind of crazy and sad that in our planet, in our world, that it takes someone to die so people would be, you know, it will get through to someone's head and digest it through their system. Like, that these things are something that we have, and in other countries, it's a privilege. And when it should be something natural that people should have, like women's education, you know. I guess we're going to be talking about this as well, like the message of the death.
I don't think it's women's education. I think just education in general. I think that's a human right.
Exactly. You
know, everyone around the world deserves some form of education. And, you know, girls should go to schools just like the boys, you know. Like in Africa, a lot of girls are not encouraged to go to school because, you know, their parents, you know, fathers and mothers, they want them to stay at home, look after the family, look after the kids. So you see their brothers going to school, but, you know, they can't go to school because they have to stay at home. And also the thing is, school in third world countries is expensive. So a lot of the families would rather invest the money to their son. You know, they would take they would let their son go to school and not care about their daughter, because they think their daughter is really not that important. And I think it's the same thing happening in Pakistan. And, you know, the Taliban, who believe in the Sharia law, you know, which is an extreme view of what the Quran is, they do not believe in that women should be educated. So so you have a symbol like Malala, and they want to kill her. They said, you know, we shot her. If she survived, we're going to try to kill her again, because they want to kill her. They want to kill her because she's basically a new hope for a lot of women, young girls in Pakistan.
Yeah. I noticed you mentioned death, but I think she's actually in okay condition, right? She's able to move
her
legs?
Yeah, the doctor said she could move her legs, I think move her arms a little bit or fingers. So she's recovering slowly. And just to talk more about Malala, she's actually a blogger for the BBC. So she's been blogging to the CBC since 2009. And basically she talks about, you know, her life in Pakistan and, you know, how she was living, you know, her life along the with the Taliban, you know, because the Taliban makes everything so hard there. So she's blogging about it to the BBC for the past, you know, 3 years. And actually her father owned a school, and that school basically let girls go to school. So the Taliban tried to burn the school down. And so, you know, when Malala was like maybe 11 or, you know, when she was 11, that's when she started going to school. And since then, she's been blogging to the BBC.
One question, though, Baba. Did she try to inspire people by giving girls, young girls, free education or just education in general?
Just education, you know.
Just education, but it's not like a free education that we'll have here in Canada, like in
just
in
education, just access to go to school, you know, free without prosecution. Yeah. She was interviewed by a BBC reporter, and you know, the reporter asked her, "If you were the president of Pakistan, what's the first thing you would do if you get elected?" She's like, "I want to build schools for girls. I want girls to go to school because schools should be for everybody, not for just men, but for everybody. Everybody deserves education."
That's crazy. You know how ironic this is? I just want to add to this because, you know, people are actually getting funding and, like, trying to get money, and people are donating. And it's for, like, apes and orangutan to have education, and they're trying to give them free iPads so they can actually communicate with their siblings or you know, blood relatives and whatnot. So, I mean, if people are kind of crazy enough to actually supply iPads for orangutans or apes in the zoo so they can teach them and they educate them, and then we have this country where, you know, they're trying to forbid them to have a good education. Yeah. That is just nuts.
It's not the same people, though.
It's the different societies, you know. Like, over there, it's all completely different. Like, in Western society, we're all spoiled. So you have all these rich...
Go on.
You have all these rich people spending money on iPads for friggin'...
For apes.
And
they have apps for apes, too, so they can educate them.
Anyways, so in the Taliban, I mean, in Pakistan, basically, that's not the case. There's a lot of poor, like I said earlier, there's a lot of poor families, so they would rather spend their money on their sons, you know, make sure their sons go to school and make sure their sons are well educated, and then just leave their daughters behind, because these daughters are probably just going to be given away, sold away for marriage. They're not, you know, they don't really need the education, because the only real education, you know, they think these girls should know is how to bear a baby. That's the only education, because they don't want these girls to be like doctors or lawyers or president of the country. They want these girls to be mothers. That's it.
Her, I hope if she's able to recover, she becomes like a journalist or something.
I think
BBC.
She's already a journalist.
Yeah,
that's true.
BBC blog. Because she can still blog, even if she couldn't talk, right?
Well, now, all of us, you know, I say all of us, I'm talking about everybody, you know. Like, if you go on Twitter and you put, you know, hashtag Malala, there's like thousands of people talking about her. So I think a lot of people just want her to survive. That's, you know, we want her to get through this. You know, we want her to live, and then we could talk about what's next for her. If she can, you know, if she survives and she can talk and she can think properly, then she's going to be a great reporter for the BBC, you know.
Yeah. That'd be great.
All right, so time for the next topic. I heard about Dalton McGuinty resigning the position for being the Ontario Premier. So what the case would be is he wants to run to be a federal Liberal leader, And they're saying that he's got an endorsement from a man who would be his main rival, which is he's Justin Trudeau, the son of Pierre Trudeau. So so I'm just wondering, like, whether this is really his motivation, that because Justin Trudeau would be endorsing him, so that's why he's pushing for
wait
it.
Wait a second. Justin Trudeau is actually running for the same job, so I don't understand why Justin Trudeau would be endorsing Dalton McGuinty.
Yeah.
And Dalton McGuinty hasn't even said anything about him running for the Liberal Party or the leadership for the Liberal Party, so he hasn't said anything. I think he's going to say that in a couple of days, but it's not really official yet. The thing about Dalton McGuinty.
But what do you think, though?
Well,
he would run for the Liberal leader.
I think he's going to run for the Liberal leader. I think he's going to do that, but he hasn't said that officially yet. But the thing about Dalton McGuinty is that he's been losing popularity in Ontario. So, you know, he just won a minority government. So, you know, like the last government he had was a majority government, which gave him more power over, you know, Parliament Hill or Queen's Park. So he won a minority now, and so he has to work with the other two parties, the NDP and the PC, the Ontario PC. And his popularity is not really that big anymore. Like, everybody's, like, bored of this guy. He doesn't instill, like, leadership and true premier. So he's not popular anymore. And that's mainly why he would be resigning. But this is kind of a scary.
I believe he's still pretty good. I just believe that
his popularity is coming down.
Horvath was made a good impression on you know, Ontarians.
But we should be afraid because the Ontario PC party might be the next government because these guys are gaining popularity. I don't think Ontarians are going to vote for Horvath, the NDP. I don't think that we're going to do that. Although in my writing, you know, it's an NDP writing. So I'm voting NDP, but I'm talking about the whole Ontario. I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be the PC. So, you know, we're going to have issues with education. We're going to have social programs getting cut. We're just going to have a miniature version of, you know, the Apple is coming up with a mini iPad. So we're going to have a mini Stephen Harper in Ontario. So
what do you think of – my question is, like, what do you guys think of Bob Rae? Like, what's Bob Rae going to do since Dalton McGuinty is going to be jumping in there? And what are the chances of Dalton McGuinty going up against Justin Trudeau? And where does Bob Rae fit into this equation?
Well, I'll talk about Dalton McGuinty. I think Dalton McGuinty has the record in terms of leading a party for a very long time.
9 years.
Leading a successful party. So
I like Dalton McGuinty.
He knows he knows the game. But Trudeau is a friggin' kid. He doesn't know the system. You know, if it's a boxing match between Trudeau.
That's
and,
ageism.
Wait
man.
A second. If it's a boxing match. Yeah, if it's a boxing match between Stephen Harper and Trudeau, Stephen Harper will kill this guy, okay? But if it's Dalton McGuinty and Stephen Harper, I think it would be tie. Because Dalton McGuinty is been in the game for a very long time, so he knows the game, and he can actually stand toe-to-toe with Stephen Harper. The Liberal Party needs somebody like Dalton McGuinty because he knows how to fight. He knows how to, you know, ask the questions during question period. He knows the game. So
you think Bob Rae doesn't stand the chance?
Bob Rae is the interim leader. I don't think he can actually run. I don't know. But he's the interim leader for the Liberal Party right now. And he hasn't said anything about him running to take the actual job. So
Okay. Well said. So I guess that's about it, right?
Yeah.
No more topics.
You know what? Yeah,
we have more topics, but we're saving the big one for tomorrow. So don't forget.
Check out the debate tonight.
We're gonna have the presidential debate, and also, I want to mention next week is gonna be our last Friday event, but it's actually moved to Thursday. So
Thursday
there's a rumor buzzing around that that we're gonna have Nelly Furtado. Are you guys really like
Nelly
kind
Furtado?
Of,
what?
Nelly Furtado. I'm like,
turn
whoa,
off the lights.
That's like, that's so huge, man. So
turn off
try
the
to,
light.
Try to tune in tomorrow for from 7 to 8. And also next week is our last Friday event, which is going to be moved to Thursday. And try to tune in to see whether Nelly Furtado is really going to go and perform at our last Thursday event next week.
Good night, everybody.
It's Catch the Flavor Radio on Radio Region.